Hey, everybody. Great episode of the show today. We talk about the leaked photograph of Sam Bankman-Fried from prison that Tiffany Fong was able to get her hands on, and the interview she did with an ex-Blood Gang member discussing Sam's time in prison so far. It's definitely been pretty interesting to hear about. We also discuss the upcoming Blast Layer 2 launch, the historic $15 million art purchase, and lastly, whether or not Ethereum NFTs are primed for a rally going into March. Hope you enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, cutting the music a little bit short here because we had a late start because of some technical issues, but welcome to the Nifty Morning Podcast, Tuesday, February 20th, ready to cook here on an eventful morning after a long weekend. If you're paying attention to the TradFi markets, obviously we were live yesterday, but I do think it's funny that Bitcoin just posts a 52-week high 1 hour before the TradFi markets open, just to, you know, just to deal a little bit of pain to the people that are ETF buyers. It is a funny mechanic that a lot of people predicted. You know, one interesting thing that has surfaced in the past 24 hours, Nick, you can't process what I mentioned about the Bitcoin price. You know, the crypto market versus the TradFi market is just not something you can process.
Why is it painful?
Because now the ETF people who haven't been able to buy the ETF because the markets were closed have to pay a higher price because the crypto people drove the price up.
I bought it before.
Well, look at you. Look at you. You're the man.
Via an ETF in my retirement account.
Nick, I bought Filecoin.
No, you didn't.
I bought Filecoin last night.
I can't. Dude, I can't be a Filecoin fuckhead.
Listen, hear me out. I read a Twitter post from someone I really do trust in the space.
I can't.
They're stupid giga-long Filecoin. They're like uncomfortably long Filecoin. They're calling for $27 Filecoin. They're like, this makes total sense. This is where it's going. Easiest 4X of my life. I'm like, if he's calling for a 4X on this, dude, I'm not going to fade him. I didn't put a ton of capital in, but I'm a Filecoin fuckhead now. I have exposure.
Nick, what is your average cost to the number one financial asset of 2024, Filecoin?
Probably where it is right now.
In that case, I'll buy it. But I can't.
I think it may be like $7 or something. Like I bought it when it was pumping last time. But my like low entries were at like five something basically. But even still, I just saw it and I was like, okay, it hit. See, as a commenter is pointing out, it hit $200 last cycle.
I did not know that at all. And that was very surprising to me. But Easy said that there's still inflationary mechanics. So that's not a true. Yeah.
But this was even more interesting to me, too, was Anatoly, one of the founders of Solana, talked about Solana's design was based on Filecoin's original white paper.
Well, everyone's like hating on Filecoin on the show. They don't understand how fundamental and foundational it was. Filecoin came out before Bitcoin, actually. Uh-huh. So they invented on-chain storage, before it was in development beforehand. In all seriousness, they have a legit technical team, and it's not all about like Filecoin itself. Filecoin has their own protocol.
Well, it's IPFS, right? Is like the main thing behind it, which I'm like from an on-chain server.
IPFS. Separately, there's a Filecoin solution, and I don't know really what I don't understand why Filecoin, the coin itself, is like worth anything, frankly. But
that's what you want to hear.
You don't anyway, say the ahead. Quiet part out loud, Nick.
But it looked good to me, so I was just like, yeah, let's fucking go, basically. After seeing the all time high, I'm like, this easily, like, shouldn't this get to like at least $25, $30, $40 if it went to 200 before?
You're not wrong. No, I mean, look, I would love to know what that market cap was at 200 and what the market cap is at right now. I think that would be a really, that's what I want to know. The all-time high market cap versus the current all-time high. I don't know if I can buy Filecoin. I think I think the whole Filecoin saga has been very funny.
This may be one of your fatal mistakes here, because this is going to outperform Pudgy Penguins, your Pudgy Penguins trade. I'm just saying, now I don't know if it outperforms Yeah, it'll outperform ETH also.
Well, think about it. If Filecoin does a 4x to $28, which is right in line with what you just said, right? That would mean Pudgies have to go to 80 and ETH would have to go to 12K. So, like, comparatively, Filecoin may be the better play.
Well, of ETH versus Filecoin?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's... Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, so I'm looking at my IRA accounts, and what's crazy is my buys on Bitcoin already up 30%, and the entire thesis on this whole thing is just like, put everything into that.
Yep.
Cuz I'm like, what I was like, like it's going to outperform the S&P by like 10x mm-hmm. what the S&P does. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you have like everything in there? I still have other stuff. Part of me is just like, should I, like, is there any reason that I have other stuff? It's the thing that I'm wondering.
Well, yeah, about. You're feeling the vibe, right? You are waking up to Bitcoin in many ways, and that's awesome.
What? Like, no, dude, that's such a demeaning way of phrasing it, and it's also just not accurate at all. Bro, I was like using I was setting up manual wallets when you were still a child. Okay, so that's like, I want you to understand, but I appreciate that you're waking up to Bitcoin. Look, I appreciate your advocacy. It's not needed though.
Okay, so one thing I've been dealing with, because you brought up the Pudgy thing and you brought up the Filecoin thing. So, and we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the show, but screw it. We can talk about that. Right now, I just updated like the Pudgy floor, the little Pudgy floor, and the Ethereum price and the Bitcoin price in this tracker that I have for my NFT portfolio. Right now, my Pudgies are worth 2.2 Bitcoins. This is like the dance that you kind of do when you have things outperforming one asset, but you know, for the long term, you want to be all in on that asset. So let's say Pudgy has like this face melting, ridiculous run. Like, what do we think that ratio is going to be of, I mean, it's my bag, so it's personal to me, of Pudgy versus Bitcoin. I'm like, do I think that the 2.2 is going to go to 4? Do I think it's going to go to 5? Because when you sell the Pudgies, and because they're NFTs, you kind of have to eventually sell them because of the way that the market is disrespectful to NFTs in bearish scenarios. You know, you're going to pay a lot of taxes on that. That's going to be, it'll realistically be long-term capital gains for me, but it'll be a six-figure tax bill at that point, I predict. So that's the little dance that I've been kind of trying to figure out, like, what's my game plan here? If I sell them right now, it would be short-term capital.
You want to know what it is?
What?
You're basically betting, you're betting on a token drop.
Bless you. Yeah, you're like a token event, right?
Yeah, but think about it. How much do you think that upside is for a token? Like, that's where I'm like stuck here. I'm like, is that quote priced in already? Because I look at like Creeps, which has Portal Coin, and that did a 60% gain when people saw Portal Coin trading $1 OTC. So like, I start to cross compare, like, what is the percentage basis that stuff runs when they do have a token generative event? I look at Mavia Land, which printed, I want to say, between 10 and 15 grand per holder or user of like the Mavia Lands. And those ended up getting to like 2.5 ETH from, I want to say, 0.7. So like almost a 3x on that. So there's like certain things that I look at where like, what is the token generative event that actually leads to the price action of this? And where does it run? Which, like, Pudgy's already being at 20 ETH. You also have to start to understand like affordability from the market. Like, stuff that's priced under 3 ETH opens up a lot more buy pressure than some of the larger scale plays. Like, ApeCoin is also what sent Apes from, what was it, 20 all the way up to 100. And that was peak bull. Like,
yeah. And don't get it twisted. I'm giga bullish. The other thing is that it's just not an option for me to sell any of this stuff for short term cap gains. It's just flat out not a thing. It's not going to happen. I mean, look, we can kind of discuss the math on some of this stuff another time. Let's dive into the show. So we have the first story of the past 24 to 48 hours, which is Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy who Nick made a rap song about. That's what everyone knows him by. Tiffany Fong, on her journalistic journey, has uncovered an image from the big house, from the pen of Sam Bankman-Fried with several, I'd say, quite hard looking individuals. We have four blocked out faces, so they wanted to stay anon, very in line with crypto, if you ask me. But one gentleman was comfortable showing his face. It's a gentleman named G-Lock, who is a former Blood Gang member. I don't know if he's a former Blood Gang member, because I feel like once you're in a gang, you're kind of in a gang for a long time. He's probably a Blood member on the inside, but he's probably trying to get out, so he's not disclosing that he's currently a Blood member.
Wait. Are you sure that this is not the guy that's out that she's already friends with that gave her the inside picture?
Well, then he would have just got out.
Tiffany Fong commented on it and said the reason that she blocked out the other photos was because of the source of the picture. So, like, she's not disclosing how she got the picture, but that she did, in fact, interview G-Lock, who appears to be an acquaintance. Of SBF.
Well, they seem actually quite close. So G-Lock, he described Sam as having 10 toes down, whereas someone like Tekashi69, for example, who he named, was a snitch. So there does seem to be a certain level of street cred that Sam Bankman-Fried is earning, on the yard, if you will. And it's been very interesting to listen to G-Lock describe Sam Bankman-Fried's, tenure in prison. He said that Sam has not been showering, which is interesting. It prompted Tiffany to ask if G-Lock thought that the reason that Sam Bankman-Fried was not showering is because of the rumors that he heard about the consequences of dropping the soap, so to speak. That's a little, it kind of signals something else that's a little bit more explicit, based on maybe the way that prison
get raped in the butt.
Yeah, based on the way that prison has historically been communicated. He's laughing right here in the video. That's what she had just asked him. They're having a good laugh there, G-Lock and Tiffany Fong. And yes, this might come from the way that prison was portrayed in popular shows like Oz on HBO, The Wire, and other sources from the 90s and 2000s in media. Another quote from G-Lock in this is that G-Lock's mom said that if Sam Bankman-Fried was black, then, because he didn't snitch, he'd be considered a real you-know-what. So it was very interesting to hear from G-Lock, hear his perspective on Sam Bankman-Fried. Sounds like Sam is settling right into the prison situation that he's in Brooklyn, New York. He's actually just down the street. He's literally hanging out down the street.
What is the visitation scenario? Like, could we get one of you guys to visit? Like, is that an opportunity here? Like, can we?
I feel like if anyone's going
to
get
I have been wondering about that, to be completely honest.
If Tiffany can't get a visit, I don't know if, the Sergeant of Solana, the Alameda mastermind himself, will be able to get a visit. But it is pretty.
She could have gotten a visit, but it just wouldn't be recorded.
Right. That's it. Well, maybe
what
she
if,
has.
What if Sam was the source?
Maybe Sam was the source. He took the picture. Well, the other thing is that Tiffany said that, or Tiffany / G-Lock corroborated that Sam wanted to be in the picture, which I think says a lot. I have not. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if you are only listening, the reason I just suddenly burst out into laughter is I had not seen a meme that the one and only valued audience member Test Tube Ted, absolute badass, Sam on the yard with the same squad. It's a Photoshop of this picture on the yard there in Brooklyn. And he Photoshopped in Nick wearing his CryptoPunk hoodie, which I think is absolutely perfect. I'm going to copy this and paste the meme and not give Test Tube Ted credit, as you do when you post memes on Twitter.
It seems like exactly what you would do.
Yeah. Wow. Test Tube Ted absolutely got me with that. Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, I think that this kind of confirms that Sam Bankman-Fried has just been a criminal the whole time because of the way that he's settling in to his prison time over there in Brooklyn. Pretty wild stuff. Shout out to G-Lock for giving the inside info there, declaring Sam as having 10 toes down, whereas Tekashi69 is a snitch. He does refer to Sam as his son several times during the interview, and maybe somebody that has perhaps spent time on the inside could let me know what exactly that vernacular means in this context. G-Lock declaring Sam to be his son when it seems like there was not a sexual relationship there, given G-Lock's response to Tiffany Fong when she brought up the drop the soap theory. Anyway, moving on from the Sam Bankman-Fried situation, we have Bodago of the Day. Clemente, I don't know if we're deciding that this is your section or if you want me to run with this. I can go either way.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to, this is more of a shout out because Bo Puppo was already Bodago of the Day, but Bo Puppo bought another Bodago one of one. Last night. So this one was El Toro is the correct pronunciation for this one. But this is the latest one of one to sell. Sold last night after Bo Puppo was making offers for about 2 weeks after already acquiring one about 2 weeks ago. So shout
out. What did this one sell for?
About, I think, 100.
It sold for 100 exactly.
Okay.
This one is nice, man.
I love this one. I when we got this one, like when this one came back hot off the press, I was like, oh, let's go. I love this one. Shout out to Bo Puppo. Really badass guy. Has a ton of Bodagos. Has just been throwing his weight around in the market for Bodagos. Absolutely love having him around. I'm sending him some merch. I got his address. I'm sending him merch. You already know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to discuss how to prepare for the upcoming Blast Layer 2 launch. We're going to discuss the historic, now historic, $15 million on-chain art purchase that we heard about yesterday. Wild stuff. And lastly, whether or not ETH NFTs are primed for a rally in March. We're going to dive into the weather report. I'm wondering, so we don't have signal today. Of course, Easy's always available for the weather report, but I wonder if the fans, the people at home, would love to hear one from, you know, the cranky host himself, Nifty Nick.
I'm not cranky. You're just a jerk, Pia. What's going on? So... I don't have the sound effects, though, so suck it up, people. ETH market volume on the NFT side, 33 million compared to 8 million Solana. What's going on there? What is going on there? Very interesting. A lot of action, primarily between Pudgy and Bored Ape Yacht Club. One-day volume between the two, 3,000 ETH, which is, how much is that in dollars? That's $99,000.
$9 million.
My mouth was so wobbly.
I mean, $3,000 ETH. Grand.
$3 ETH. Let's go.
What the hell was I thinking? Wait, sorry. What?
That was so bad.
What's the total amount?
Here we go. Keep going. Keep going. It was $9 million. $9 million.
Okay, $9 million of that total volume, which is more than the entire Solana market volume. Market leaders, Wrecked Guy is up 28% to 0.8 ETH. World of Women up 25% to 1.17. Wow. World of Women seeing some action here. Interesting. Meebits up 16% to 1.2 ETH. Sappy Seals up 16% to 1.1. Moonbirds up 12.5% to 1.9. I'm still up on my dump, but we'll see if that actually sustains here. What are Cool Cats at, though, Clemente?
1.03 last time I checked. Yikes. 0.93 now.
Wow. Okay. That seems like the main opportunity here. Like, why is someone buying World of Women? Can anybody explain? Why? Don't tell me what to do, Clemente. I'm moving on to the next story. 10 autoglyphs have been sold. You already heard it. 5,000 ETH and an OTC deal. Everything's... Dude, like, rename the newsletter the OTC beat. you just use that acronym scattered around literally everywhere.
But that's what it was. It was over the counter. There was no marketplace involved.
$14.5 million to a traditional art collector that plans to present the works in museums and galleries moving forward. The seller sent 2735 ETH to one wallet and bought 3 CryptoPunks and 32 Meebits, adding to their grand total of 162 CryptoPunks, holy shnikes, and sent the remaining 2,000 ETH to Gemini. The marketplace that PO believes is completely dead and has no future in the world. This marks one of the most notable art transactions since the Golden Goose by Dmitry Cherniak was bought for $6.2 million in June of last year. Next story, latest airdrop announced was from SyncusDAO. What a funny name. A DeFi platform that announced a mega airdrop coming to Pudgy Penguins and Lil Pudgies, Bored and Mutant Apes, Sappy Seals, and Wrecked Guy. Wrecked Guy, the cheapest NFT on the airdrop, saw a 30% pump to 0.8 ETH on the news. Yo, where the fuck is the Syncus team at? Don't put me in touch with the Syncus team.
The best way to get attention, just tweet at them and say, Syncus team, we have to talk.
Blast, the upcoming ETH layer 2. Did you need to clarify that? Literally everybody knows what it is.
No, he needed to clarify. There's Blastorians, Blastopians, and more that are also on Blast. Jesus.
What is this hand motion Clemente keeps making? I'm about to...
He's trying to keep you on the ball, man. I'm he's the producer. Re-prune.
Dude, we're about to get into some fisticuffs. Shared the winners of the Big Bang competition will be announced this Friday and was overwhelmed by the high volume of applications. The Big Bang being a video competition of an AI having sex because you don't have it in real life. They also shared that the exact mainnet launch will be announced later this week, but is expected sometime in February. Lastly, Wormhole has announced a partnership with Backpack, which allows one-click bridging between Sol and ETH. Mad Lads have held their 200 Sol range and currently have their lowest listing total since the mint back in April 2023. As everyone here is aware, just had an incredible trade on this buy here, and I'm looking like an absolute genius yet again. This will probably be almost as good as my Filecoin trade.
Is that the end of the?
Oh, that's it for the weather report. Let's dive into the daily newsletter.
Oh, okay. You're gonna keep? Yeah, go ahead.
Please. There's two stories. That's how big our newsletter has gotten. Sorry. There's two stories, Phil. I'm just going to dive right in. Floor Protocol absolutely. Tweets, Pudgy Penguins don't know it yet, but they love Floor Protocol. What the hell is going on here?
They've been teasing an airdrop for a little bit. Yeah. So it looks like Pudgy Penguins here are going to be getting some love.
All right. I'm getting pissed
off. That was the worst silence I think I've ever heard.
WASI's dipped 25% to 0.79 ETH following the snapshot for upcoming pump meme coin on Blast.
This is notable, Nick, because their team is actually getting really involved in Blast. They are launching a meme coin on it, and they basically gave a massive allocation to their holders. And the snapshot was taken for yesterday. These have basically done a 2x in the last 30 days because of their kind of early pivot to Blast, which is why it's interesting. PO, side note, Pudgy Penguins are also getting an allocation for this at some point, but much smaller. But yeah.
I can't wait to go on a Frodo Baggins-like conquest to figure out how to get these, quote, airdrops that aren't actually airdrops. They're claims that have, like, riddles involved. But yeah, hopefully I'll get access to some of them. Nick, last story?
Wasn't that the last story?
Oh, that was the last story.
Crypto top movers. I'll read those off. Arweave, up 24%. Well-known competitor to Filecoin. Not many people know that. But holy shit, talk about a great seven-day chart. They're up 50% in the past week. That is a great trade. What's the market cap of this? Fully diluted $1 billion. Market cap basically the same. Let's pull up Filecoin there real quick. Clemente, do your job. For almost $15 billion market cap, $4 billion non-fully diluted. Arweave looks interesting. It's an interesting trade.
You have enough decentralized storage, Nick. I don't think we need to add any more to it.
I don't have that much exposure. Filecoin's up 21% to 793, although that's pulled back since then. It's at 760. What are you doing with your hand there, Clemente?
Focus. My wrist is hurting.
From
working his ass off. From literally working his ass off every day.
Immutable's up 8% to 360. What does that mean?
That means Clemente's up.
Dude, I'm up 50% on this trade, by the way.
So, yeah, Clemente's up nicely.
Wow.
Immutable, what? Yeah, Immutable has been doing quite well. You're seeing DC Investor co-sign Immutable, which I think is very interesting because he rarely is co-signing altcoins really of any kind. I mean, if he's going to co-sign them, they will be Ethereum ones. And so this seems
but
to
IMX
be
has
selection.
An interesting use case for gaming. Like it's a lot of like yes. The the user onboarding process with IMX doesn't require a wallet, a lot more custodial aspects. And you're seeing a lot of projects move over to IMX on the back of their partnership with Polygon too. So it just seems like for this gaming narrative and this gaming boom, Immutable kind of lagged where we saw Ronin send, Prime send. And it's like the whole argument of like doing infrastructure instead of playing a specific token for a specific game. IMX is absolutely that infrastructure layer.
Yeah. I mean, look, great to see layer twos and just in general, like these crypto businesses, come back and have real pumps. So yeah, look, Nick, great job. Those were the updates from the Daily Digest. Wasn't cranky at all. Thank you very much for the contribution. First story to dive into on the day is there was a $15 million autoglyph sale. So, I mean, that's like a pretty damn significant thing. It's the OTC deal, as Nick says, from our OTC newsletter. I think that you could officially say that we're back. Allegedly, the collector is an art collector from the traditional art world and wants to have these autoglyphs displayed in museums. So pretty, pretty juicy stuff. Nick, what's your take on this sale? I mean, it's pretty significant, right?
There were some NFTs. They were sold. I think that absolutely fascinating, to see the market being back. We're going to be calling the market back for the next 6 months, even though when is it not going to be back? That's the question that I have.
The back half of 2025.
Okay. So we'll just be calling it. We should do end of this year, Bitcoin's going to be at 100K and we'll be like, guys, I think we can officially call this a bull market. I think we can officially call it a bull market at this point.
It shows the depth of trauma from the previous bear market. It was pretty wild. It is very vindicating to see, gentlemen like Sam Bankman-Fried having relationships now with people like GLOC, whereas last cycle he had relationships with people like Tom Brady and Bill Clinton. So look, moving on. Oh, Nick?
I was going to say, interestingly enough, the altcoin market has not really actually been pumping for the most part. Other than Filecoin and ApeCoin.
ApeCoin, huh?
ApeCoin has been on a run as well. It hit almost $2. It went up to $190. Remember when I was calling that?
Do
you know why?
Yeah.
Do we know what the thesis? Well, it's because the Ape Chain AIP was approved and the market finally, it clicked for the market just now that ApeCoin would have to be used as gas for Ape Chain. And now the market has said, oh shit, that means the token will be deflationary. It just took multiple months following the entire AIPs for the market to realize, holy shit, Ape Chain equals Ape Coin gets burned. And now the market's like, that means price go up.
You were fading it. You were fading it.
I'm still fading it. I'm not going near it. I don't want any part of Ape Coin. I'm even more excited for Ape Chain built by Horizon Labs to watch them run the same playbook back. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Well, there you go. Look, in the last 7 days in the Ethereum market, we've seen Pudgy Penguins flip Bored Apes and make a new all-time high of 22 Ethereum. This comes, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, with ETH at $3,000 now. So we are officially in previous cycle price territory, which is wild. Bored Apes cost 22 ETH in August of 2021, and ETH was at about $3,000 at that time in that ballpark. I think it might have been closer to 35, but to me, north of $3,000 is just flat out the same price territory of last cycle, which is really something that should be noted because so many people, quite frankly, myself included, during the depths of the bear market, suspected that perhaps the prices of NFTs would not return to the same individual levels. I always thought that the broad market cap of the NFT market as a whole would not only match previous cycle, but beat it. But because I figured so many new projects were going to come out I thought that market cap would be spread out. And to see individual projects have competitive pricing with previous cycle before the Bitcoin halving in 2024 is wild. And I mean, look, you can't get more bullish than that. It's crazy. So moving on, Moonbirds are up 70% to 2 ETH on the back of the announcement of the Bored Ape Yacht Club acquisition. This is after team at Proof had to keep that quiet for several months while our very own journalist extraordinaire, you know, Tiffany Fong, watch out, Nifty Nick, was breaking news left and right about the acquisition. Next story, Wrecked Guy is up 60%. I think that this is realistically on the back of them locking in one of those significant airdrops, and people may be speculating that if they got one, they can get more, and there could be more airdrops to come because everyone loves airdrops right now. That's the favorite thing. Next story, Parallel Avatar is marking a new all-time high. Is this an all-time high in U.S. dollar terms, Clemente, or an all-time high in Ethereum terms? I'd imagine it's U.S. dollar terms.
Easy, you actually own one, right? You bought one at 0.7. Is this an all-time high for ETH and USD or just USD?
I think just USD.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just USD.
Because these things were over one ETH with ETH at like $1,800. So yeah. It's not going to be easy to, it's just different. So anyway, but Parallel Avatars and Prime Token Cooking, people very interested in that ecosystem.
Well, the thesis for it too is the nodes. Like if you buy nodes for gaming chains and you get the token, but because of what some people have been speculating on is that since Prime's already circulating right now, they're worried and with like multiple games that there won't be able to be a node sale for Prime and that the NFTs are going to act as the nodes, which we've seen other L2s and like subnets from AVAX and things like that do similar, which would be one of the first of its kind for like an ETH L1 gaming project. So that's where a lot of people are speculating. That's what we actually saw the price action run from, is as these additional games keep rolling out, the avatars are going to be that core base that gets you Prime token.
Right. That's exactly the structure that people are focused on with Prime and Parallel. Interesting to see how it plays out. Sappy Seals up 50%, realistically also on the back of one of those significant airdrops. Perhaps there will be more. Are we underestimating a face melting pump on the Ethereum side of the NFT space that could be coming here?
So real quick, just to kick this off, I was watching basically the historical weekly NFT volume over the last 2 years. And a couple big takeaways is our daily volume right now is roughly around $30 million on Ethereum. Right. And literally just to give you guys some context, we were averaging $40 million in volume a week in October.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty insane increase that we've seen in volume, but the way I'm expecting this PO to kind of play out in the next, I'm watching, comparing this to last year when ETH was trading at less than $2,000, right? After the Blur season two airdrop or season one airdrop, we got up to $90 million in daily trading volume. I expect us to hit that or to get close
3x from here.
Yeah, a 3x in trading volume from here on ETH NFTs when Blast comes out and when this kind of token airdrop meta continues. Like it's only going to heat up. And I think when Blast announces has some sort of integration with Blur and creates like a gas-free trading experience for ETH, I think things are going to get a little crazy, frankly. And if you don't have at least some ETH NFT exposure, it's not too late, I don't think, to get some exposure to some of these projects that are going to pump.
Yeah, there's definitely been a pretty significant repricing across most of the projects that people expect to go up in price. So that's been very interesting to see. Nick, any thoughts on the potential of us 3Xing from here and getting the $90 million a day of volume on the Ethereum side of the NFT market?
I mean, it sounds good to me. not a whole lot to add to that. It's like, yeah, seems like it's going to happen. Just waiting on that to take place. Wondering if there's any other exposure that I need on that side. But I have a lot of NFT exposure in general.
You do. And people should note that you have kind of the greatest hits from the previous cycle just on deck that you never sold.
Yeah. I don't like to think about that size.
What's your favorite NFT you own? Your punk? Besides the punk. Like, I would say favorite thing you own that's under an ETH. And why is it your cryptode?
What a question. That question,
I'm just curious. You have so many NFTs that are like literally the like it's like a now 21 best hits album of just iconic OG projects that have all at one point trade over like 3 ETH. Like, dude, Supducks were way up there. Toads, Meebits, absolutely electric Flyfish Club.
Dude, you got Max Payne in there. You got
Max Payne, and
you have a Rumble Kong.
That's wild.
Rumble Kongs are not
they're not dead. They're not dead. They're I looked at that yesterday because I was like curious if the game ever came to life. They're still sitting at like a 0.34, which is pretty shocking.
Yeah. They're doing Gucci. All right. I got some of the Gucci apes. I have two Gucci apes. The Supducks is not doing very well. Fox Fam, that was a classic. I had my buddy buy it. It was a complete disaster.
Was that a friendship bracelet up there?
Yeah.
Two of them.
Are those just worthless now?
0.05 ETH each.
Yeah, they're down bad. I sold both of mine at 0.7.
Is Premint like at zero?
No, I don't think it's zero.
Really is a true greatest hits of last cycle.
This is incredible, dude. Like going through this wallet is like just a trip down 21, 22 memory lane. This
I have another deed in here just chilling.
Is that a dink?
What?
Yeah, he's got a dink.
gotta have one of those. I have Sandbox Land. I don't know if this is worth a damn thing. I think I bought that for an ETH.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going through Nick's Atom Bomb Squad. What's an Atom Bomb Squad cost right now?
0.03 WEETH.
Yeah. So that, I mean, really, when you kind of think about what Atom Bomb Squad is, it's the...
Dude, these day packs, the Bored Ape Kennel Club day pack, these things were... I bought it for 0.1... I minted for 0.16.
Oh no, the Gucci cloth is in there?
Or someone else did.
You didn't claim that?
So what's the floor on that now? Okay.
0.18. It's not underwater, but you could claim one for a wallet. He would have just gotten a free wallet.
Well, and how much are the wallets?
I mean, it's a Gucci wallet. It's like $500-$600.
But do you want that?
I mean, the real question is, should I not sell like...
Sell all of this shit? Like a lot of it? A lot of it.
$500 is a lot. This thing, why does that say that I was air? Oh, the other one's got burned. So this has just been sitting in there.
0.2?
I think, and that's not based on location. The fact that we're still, that Sandbox Land has what it's worth is still pretty crazy. Look, the bottom line is ETH NFTs aren't dead. In fact, ETH NFTs are still among the top. What was interesting is kind of the general narrative only a few weeks ago was that Ethereum's price wouldn't go up. That was like a beanie tweet. It'll just sit at 2,500, which is ridiculous.
With an ETF approval on deck.
So, and then the other thing was like, why would I trade NFTs on ETH when I can trade them on a chain like Solana, which is true.
Yeah.
The distinction is when you're trading something that's worth $50,000, then that's a different story, and you can pay a little bit for gas. Bitcoin as well is like consistently one of the top NFT chains at this point in time. I think the volume is also inclusive of still those BRC20 tokens, which have just a surprising level of volume.
I agree. I mean, it just shows that the Bitcoin maximalist audience does have a certain level of interest in gambling, but will only do it on Bitcoin, period. They will not do it elsewhere.
It's like OKX is a big reason for it, though, too. And that's like what a lot of people overlook. It's like OKX has a predominantly Eastern audience, and they just ate BRCs and everything else from that side. it's just much easier access for them to get into it. Like, I think OKX does the most BRC20 volume out of any exchange right now, and by like significant margins.
Good insight, Easy. Good insight there. I did spend like $65 trying to do some basic stuff on Ethereum this morning. So that was really absolutely awesome. That's a half of a Solana that
I bought shitcoin on ETH last week. I only wanted like $20 of it. The gas was $26. I was like, oh, what am I literally doing here? Like, I just wanted to throw a flyer at something because someone threw it out there. And I was like, this is the most absurd situation.
I literally had to buy $100 of ETH and send it into the wallet to pay for the fees. It's pretty preposterous when you kind of think about it. Like, that's like three meals or something. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about it. Look, next story, we got, regardless, I am going to be interested to see how the Ethereum versus Solana versus Bitcoin ecosystems play out. They're all just so distinctly different. Clemente's got his eye. What's up, people's eyebrow there? What's going on?
I spent about $300 in gas flooring all of my Azuki exposure, bridging, sending over and converting ETH, WEATH to ETH to buy a shit ton of SAPs.
You dumped on your followers, bro. We all saw it in real time. Like 12 hours ago, you were aping Azuki. And what happened? You just decided to dump it and ape Sappy Seals at the Pico top?
Yeah, so Sappy Seals are going to 10 ETH is these are my pudgy penguins, basically. I'm like excited. I might buy like two more, frankly. I might sell my car, buy more seals.
I was going to say, do you need to borrow some capital? Like, I can help you out here. We can short-term loan.
So real quick, I want to actually point one thing out, and then we'll move on to Portal Coin. And I want to talk about why Clemente is so bullish on Sappy Seals. But actually, this just popped into my head because I sometimes forget that a significant amount of our audience is very big on ETH. I personally don't hold any Ethereum at all. I turned all the Ethereum that I accumulated in the bear market into Pudgy Penguins because I had my bet was that the Pudgy Penguins will outperform the Ethereum. So I have no Ethereum at all. Obviously, everybody knows I'm a big Bitcoin guy. I also have a significant amount of Solana, significant for me. You know, that's kind of like the largest portion of my token exposure. I was on a podcast last Friday. It hasn't come out yet. And I was like just going off about Bitcoin on the podcast. I talked about how Bitcoin's going to be worth $1 million by 2032, this, that, and the other thing, right? Not really much reaction from the people that were hosting the podcast and talking to me. When we got to Ethereum, and I said, I was like, well, obviously Ethereum is going to post a new all-time high this year. So, and I was like doing that to go into something else. They both started fist pumping like this. When I said that, they like visibly started fist pumping. And I was like, what do you guys like really like Ethereum or something? And they were basically like, yeah, we have a lot of Ethereum. And I like forget sometimes that there's people out there that are like, nah, I don't have any Bitcoin. I don't have any Solana. I have a buttload of Ethereum, which I find very fascinating. Well, and then I just kind of walked them through it. I was like, okay, so BlackRock, the only other crypto ETF that's been filed by BlackRock is an Ethereum ETF. If we paid attention to the ETF process, BlackRock has only ever lost one ETF out of literally 300 plus filings. It might actually be 400 or 500. I could be getting that number wrong. Bottom line, it's a near 100% hit rate. They just got a Bitcoin ETF approved. The day the Bitcoin ETF got approved, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, went on CNBC and started beating the Ethereum ETF drum. You're looking at the inflows, it's literally $500 million a day going into Bitcoin right now. So you're telling me that there's going to be an Ethereum ETF approved this year. You're telling me that NFTs, which clearly are still a huge, significant part of the crypto market, are originally kind of on Ethereum, like the mainstream NFT bull market last time was fully on Ethereum and it's not going anywhere. And you have quality builders. I mean, you just saw a $15 million Ethereum NFT sale. You got quality builders like, you know, all the projects that we've mentioned on today's show all being on Ethereum. And you're talking about people like Pac-Man and you know, these young entrepreneurs making layer twos on Ethereum and things like Immutable X and all these different, you know, kind of tangential Ethereum products starting to take off. You think Ethereum's not going to post a new all-time high? We're at 3,000 right now. The all-time high is at 4,800. You think the thing's not going to go to 6,000?
I don't think it's going to do it, Pierre. I don't think it's going to do it. That's what the whole audience is saying. They're all saying that. They were all like, Pierre's wrong. Ethereum's going to go to zero.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'm glad that you cleared that up, Nick. Look, moving on here to Portal Coin. Seems like Portal Coin turned out to be a massive W. What do you make of that, Clemente?
It's up. Well, it's trading at a dollar OTC right now. OTC pre-market.
Down 25% as of this morning. Currently trading at 76 cents. I've been keeping aggressive tabs on this. I'm very curious. I missed the creeps trade on it. But me and Nick are going to be receiving some of this, thankfully. After our aggressive post that we felt Portal Coin was a scam, luckily by us also tagging Portal Coin did qualify us for the potential airdrop. So I don't think it's going to be much, but we will be receiving something due to our strong push against it. So right around 76 cents, we saw creeps rally 45% on the news that they would be getting some allocation.
How many shards do you have?
I'd have to go check, bro. I have a thousand. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be one-to-one. Considering I've seen a few people with like multiple million shards.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, bro, imagine if someone just got a 7-figure airdrop from just spamming the timeline for 2 weeks. Talk about honest work. It ain't much.
Easy. Do you remember if so it's basically at 5x or 4x from the public sale that they did or the public pre-sale. Yeah. Do you remember, could everyone participate that? Like, what didn't it pretty much fill up pretty quickly? Or dude, we faded the shit out of that. I tweeted about this, but I'm like, dude, shout out to those goddamn lizards. They stuck with it. They stuck to their guns. I tweeted about the creeps back in late October when they were at 0.8 ETH. And I was like, yo, can someone explain these creeps to me? I'm very curious about Portal Coin. I want to hear more about their gaming. I got like 100 comments. And I middle curved the shit out of it. I was like, hey, you know, it's too much friction. It's too difficult. No one's going to get it.
Dude, we fumbled. We fumbled so hard, bro. Like, we decided to just hate. We middle curved it. This show middle curved the shit out of it.
You said, Easy, you even commented, you're like, dude, don't even think about it. Like, just buy it. And you didn't buy one.
I didn't buy it. No, because I hate the whole idea of just sending money to a wallet. Like, I've probably fumbled Blast, too, because I just don't like sending money to a wallet. Like, ever since Ben.eth made that his entire mantra, I've stayed away from it. And that's why, like, I felt better about the Blur staking side of it. And I would have probably felt better if I just bought a Creeps. But I didn't. And like, that was kind of my thought process on it. And watching now, this is crazy to see, because like Tenacious, who listens to the show all the time, was a top 5 farmer. People forget, like,
yeah, I see him tweeting or putting the comments up. Shout out to Tenacious, dominating.
He's going to cook, bro. Like, I'm talking probably going to get 50, 60 grand from this airdrop. Like, he's going to get a bag, bro. And yeah, I mean, I just faded the ever-living shit out of it. To me, it was one of those things. But the pre-sale you could have gotten into was 15 cents. Seed round was 5 cents. So all those buyers, seed round's up 20x. Pre-sale's currently up 4 or 5x. So pretty damn good, to be honest.
Big shout out to Tenacious. I was in his DMs trying to force him to change his profile picture to a Bodago. Not going to stop, Tenacious. You should do it, totally. Also, just checked my DMs, and a very sophisticated investor friend of mine DM'd me and sent this emoji, like the, you know, perfect kind of like, yeah, you nailed it hand emoji, and said, Nick's finally starting to understand Bitcoin. Music to my ears. He literally said that. I don't know what to tell you. He literally said that. I'm not the only one. Anyway, look, moving on. Clemente is...
What is this insulting stuff? Dude, is he part of the alt-right, basically, with this sort of thing? Is he... like, what's going on? Dude, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's an alt-right guy. Anyway, just kidding. Clemente, you have turned very bullish on Sappy Seal. Sappy Seal's definitely a greatest hit from the previous cycle with a young technical founder, a gentleman named Wob. What do you make of the current situation with Sappy Seals? Have you bought into Sappy Seals?
I did. So a little bit of context. I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys. Last night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep literally for 2 hours. My brain was tormented. I had too many thoughts going through my brain. I literally was just staring at the ceiling for 2 hours straight. So I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to smoke a little ganja. I'm going to dabble in the devil's lettuce.
That's like, going to help you go to bed.
Where are you even buying weed in Florida? What are you doing?
It's a dab pen. Hey. Don't disclose any of that, Clemente. Yeah. All right. We got some narcs on the show.
Don't incriminate me, dude. I'm not trying to hang out with G-Pop or whatever his name is, dude.
G-Lock, and he'll make you his son, apparently. That seems to be what he does.
So I, dude, I ended up just getting high as shit, dude. And my, all accidentally, and it didn't help me go to sleep. I ended up working on like Bodago stuff. I was brainstorming. I had the most fire ideas. I have to check to see if they're still fire, but last night I literally worked for like 5 hours straight on my in bed, and I'm just cooking. And then I got distracted and I go into Sappy Seals and I just start like
literally spending 30 minutes analyzing Wob's like Twitter performance and like how he approaches.
I did some of that yesterday, actually, on a couple of accounts.
We got the boys going on Twitter analytics. I like it. Go ahead, Clemente.
He literally is straight up building a cult. Like Wob is literally building a cult on the internet. Like you look at Luca, he's mastered Web 2 marketing. He's great at Instagram, doing all these things. Wob is has mastered Web 3 internet, like Gen Z meme marketing. I love it. That's like my bread and butter. I love that stuff. Anyways, basically tweeted yesterday, and I read it again last night, that he basically said, we've purged all, like, the way he looks at Sappy Seal holders is like, you're either a trader or you're a community member. Like, just because you own a Sappy Seal, he doesn't mean he respects you, basically.
Oh, like, damn.
He's talked shit publicly, too.
He uses some strong words in those tweets, too. Like, some things that would definitely get us canceled.
Yeah.
He said he purged all the morons and brokies. I actually think this is something Nick aligns with this gentleman on this one for sure. Anyway, go ahead. Continue, Clemente.
Yeah. So this guy's basically building a like giga cult. And the way he's building it is actually he's able to opt in. And with the staking, you're able to see like how many people are in the cult, what's the circulating supply, and if he's able to convert more cult members over time. Is the way I'm thinking about it. But anyways, long story short, Sappy Seals PO have done basically a 2x in the last week or some change. If you look at any Sappy Seals holders, none of them are celebrating. Not a single one of them tweeted yesterday like that were excited about 1.5 ETH. They're like, nope. Like, I haven't even checked the prices.
Did you see what they tweeted instead? They said the price that you buy it at is a good price. That's what they said. They're like, we don't give a shit if you bought it at 0.1 or 1.5. It was a good price.
That's the price you bought it at is a good price.
I was like, damn, okay.
And just to put a wrap on all of this, you looked at the exposure and the way Sappy Seals pumped in relation to Pudgy Penguins back in the like before, where Pudgy Penguins first in early last year in January 2023, they first pumped to like 7 ETH. And off that, they got up to an all-time high. I think it was almost 2 ETH, 1.75. They also pumped back when Pudgy Penguins got to 10 ETH. Sappy Seals went from like 0.3, 0.4-ish. They pumped a little bit, maybe did like a 2X. Since then, Pudgy Penguins have gone to 20 ETH. Pudgy Penguins, basically, I think the way I'm looking at the market, right, is like Pudgy Penguins to do a 2X from here is freaking hard. It's going to take the NFT market basically has repriced Pudgy Penguins as the Michael Jordan of NFTs, right? Yeah. So in order for them to blow it out of the water, right? Like they need to continue doing dope shit, which they will, right? But the market views them as the number one NFT collection other than CryptoPunks. Sappy Seals.
Well, Bored API Club's floor is still above Pudgy. So
I wouldn't even compare the two, frankly. But anyways, I'm looking at Sappy
Seals. He said, I won't even compare the two. Oh my goodness.
In terms of momentum. Anyways, all this to say, Sappy Seals basically at one ETH, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is such a no-brainer. And if and when these start gaining traction and this cult basically keeps getting bigger and Wob continues to dominate crypto Twitter the way he has, and I think they even have a game. I don't even care about the game, Frank.
They have a game, yes. And their token emissions end in March. So, like, there's catalysts. And, like, clearly you don't care about what actually is happening at the NFT level. You're just like, I'm a fan of a cult. I'm down to get into the cult. Nothing bad's ever happened to a cult. I've never seen a negative situation from a cult, so I just want to be a part of it, is really what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So just to wrap this all up, PO, I realized I don't have a lot, like you, I don't have a lot of ETH exposure. I convert a lot of my ETH to Solana back in November. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of money into that, and I converted. So to be completely transparent, right, I think I have like 45 to 50K in crypto. Right. Overall, crypto nice. NFTs.
Very nice, Clemente. Right?
But the Very way nice. I'm looking at it is I would be okay allocating like maybe 15 to 20% of my portfolio in NFTs, in Ethereum NFTs.
Very risky.
But yeah, it's risky. It's risky, but it's a risk I'm willing to take.
I have to risk it to get the
biscuit.
There we go. So, look at you guys.
That I'm basically betting. I'm like, the worst case scenario, Spencer, it reminds me of the conversation we had 3 weeks ago, Spencer. The worst case scenario is if you were bullish on NFTs for all this time, you stuck around and then they end up actually coming back and you didn't have exposure to it. That's the worst part.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I mean, the way Spencer approached it is just what I would describe as an unwavering belief of a robust return of liquidity to the NFT market. And then a layer deeper, just an over-the-top level of conviction in Pudgy Penguin specifically, among some other collections. Like, we never talk about it, but he's got, like, I think in this fund, he's got like a bunch of CryptoPunks. We should like actually maybe jot that down. And next time he's on the show, he told me he's going to NFT Paris now because I was trying to get a dinner on the books with him. But he can't do that until he comes back. I don't know the next time he'll be on the show, but definitely want to ask him, like, how many CryptoPunks does your fund hold, dude? Like, is it 15? Like, how many CryptoPunks are in there? I don't know. Great insight and analysis in the Sappy Seals, Clemente. I hope that you get a lot of value out of acquiring those assets. I want to point out, you know, this started with Clemente discussing his marijuana use and referring to it as devil's lettuce, which is a common, term that Clemente uses when referring to marijuana. I also want to point out that some audience members, Test Tube Ted, had a very interesting terminology for marijuana that I'd never heard. He said Satan spinach. And then that was
banger.
Banger. That was followed up by very talented artist, Sarah Script, calligraphy artist, friend of the show, a friend of me and Nick's, who said a little bit of jazz cabbage, which I really enjoyed. That might be my favorite one, actually. Jazz cabbage. Very, very good stuff. All variations of green leafy vegetables. Very interesting. I'm not seeing a lot of Prometheus peppers implying marijuana. I don't know if it packs the same punch as those three terms for weed. Look, we're going to be wrapping in just a few minutes, but we have a couple more things to run through right now. Let's have a little fun. Let's talk about the Bodagos Super Packs, two purchases. Ladies and gentlemen, if you aren't familiar, this is Clemente and several members of the Bodagos community. It started as a small group. I'd say it went quasi-viral in the Bodagos community, in the audience of this show, and many applicants really pushed to get involved with the Bodagos Super Pack, which is a fund that, in my opinion, is poised to compete with the likes of Spencer Ventures and Redbeard Ventures, two of the bigger funds in the NFT space. They have significantly less capital and significantly more people, which
way more heart, way more grit, way more determination to make it, though. Like, when you got to start, it's the intangibles. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching the All-Star game, and those guys, they don't care about the game as much. But when you watch the Rising Stars Challenge, they really care. And that's where I put Clemente in the Bodagos Super Pack, is in the Rising Stars category, where they just really care about just, making it. And I understand, I think they're now up to 13 individuals. They probably had two every couple of days.
Is that true?
No, we're still at 11.
Oh, you're at 11 individuals. And it's just basically, in my understanding, Clemente, and it might be a rudimentary understanding, and you could totally correct me if I'm wrong about this. My understanding is it's just a debate of which button to press in a given hour or two, right? And
how often?
Basically. How often? And the how often, are we talking over or under 24 hours here?
In the last 24 hours, we've made three button clicks. Yeah.
That's not that surprising. So what's the what are the holdings right now? And what direction
can we start in? From the very start? Because there's going to be some people in the audience who are not familiar with the Bodagos Super Pack. So how many members, total capital to become a participant of the fund?
11 members. How much capital? Yeah,
we might have nine, actually, but the total investment.
Yeah, you're running a tight ship. Yeah, you're running a tight ship over there. What are we looking at for assets? AUM, assets under management. What are we looking at here?
We are looking at, as of right now, a 0.18 Bitcoin, if I had to put a number on it.
Which is less than what you guys started with, right?
Yes.
We're
down about maybe 12%.
Okay.
Oh, got it. And what, like a 14-day period, or are we doing like an 8-day period here?
Yeah. Yes to both answers. So nine members, and you have to keep in mind Bitcoin has pumped, right? So maybe in USD price, we might actually be breaking even.
Got it. That's good to know. It's interesting to think about it that way, where it's like, if you had just held Bitcoin and not done anything, you'd have more, more money. So look, what do you anticipate is the next big move by the Super PAC fund?
So like I stated, the goal is to get the orange-eyed Ordinal Maxi Bits.
And what's the floor on that?
They have not released yet.
They have not released yet. GB, Got Wood, basically Got Bounce, our head of research.
Got Wood in reference is a little play on Kathy Wood, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, with an immature sexual tone. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the head of research for the Bodega Super Pack. He predicts that these orange eyed Maxi Biz will be minting on 3-14, March 14th. And the public price will be
Pi Day.
Yeah. Pi Day. And the mint price will be 0.314 Bitcoin. So that's the target price for what we need to get to. So we need to see a little bit of a rally. We need about a 50% gain or profit in order for us to be able to afford this thing. And that's if we sell the Bitcoin puppet, which we don't really want to do.
Okay.
So what did you buy the puppet at?
0.07.
Wow. That's a pretty high price. Wow. You guys are funny. That's a really high price for a Bitcoin ordinal in general. And the fact that you thought, yeah, you know, this Bitcoin puppet is a good buy at 0.07 says a lot about the fund.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to leak the alpha from Got Wood there.
Well, we talked about it on the morning show already. Yeah, you tuned in for the first time today, but we've been speculating heavily that there's 3,142, I believe, that have been inscribed, which is 3.141, mint price 0.314, minting on Pi Day. All kind of aligns on the oldest Satoshis in existence. So I think you're okay. I think you're totally okay here that information was shared. It's been circulated, yeah. But if not, you're totally fucked.
So yeah, I'm a little bit worried. I frankly was not aligned. We had a little bit of a dispute.
Oh,
I
boy.
I was aligned with what we bought. We spent 0.026 Bitcoin on a FOMOji 2.0. these little rascals. I'm not a huge fan of the art. But as Gottwood, head of research, said, he said the devs and the team is cracked. The best team in Bitcoin, basically. He sent me this thread. He's like, yo, you got to research it, bro. I haven't had time to read it. But yeah, he's a big fan. He said that when Pio gets into ordinals, he's going to be getting a FOMOji. And then we also bought these cats, these DMT. Oh, God. Oh, there you go. The account got it.
I like the cat buy a lot. Like a lot.
Do you?
I actually do. I like this cat buy a lot because they're not on secondary markets. It's back to the roots of Bitcoin. They're only traded on spreadsheets. Only 63 people have been scammed OTC so far. So bullish on like that number going down from the early days for sure. But the auctions are going for like 0.07, 0.08 Bitcoin for these things you can't even trade on a secondary market.
I mean, look, you guys have a bulletproof approach to your research. I think it goes without saying. I also love that you clicked on the gentleman that wrote the thread that you're using as the standard for your research, and the gentleman's account had been removed from Twitter. That was what we laughed at, ladies and gentlemen, if you were only listening and didn't actually see it pulled up on the screen.
What the hell is going on here? Are you just trying to lose money?
So, Nick, I would compare this group. It's like Moneyball. Basically, what you're watching. It's like
love that comparison.
He's like the Brad Pitt, basically. I would maybe consider myself the young Jonah Hill.
Oh,
maybe a little skinnier, I would say, a little less nerdy, maybe. But you know, I'm the number cruncher. I'm out here, except on social media. You know, I'm sniping. I'm looking.
You're the qualitative guy, right? Not quantitative. You're the qualitative guy. And everybody, a research firm needs a qualitative guy. I mean, it goes without saying. Nick, we're going to close the show in just a minute, but Nick, is there any situation where you would, you know, be a capital contributor to the Bodagos? No, not on the table at all.
Clemente, how much Bitcoin do I have to send you to get involved in the pack? You and what I'm actually going to do, Clemente, is give you my vote.
So you
have two votes.
Whoa.
And I'm trusting you here. I think you're on fire recently with the trades, with the market moves, etc. So personally, let me know how much Bitcoin I got to send. I'll send it to the pack and you get my signature, my vote, everything else.
Let's talk. It's 0.02 Bitcoin to enter. We have an application process, which I think you'll pass, but there's a screening process for any new members that want to enter. We'll have to talk a little bit.
Okay.
There's qualifications you need to meet. You need to pass a physical. You need to show a resume. Right, you need to demonstrate.
We got to see your blood work. we want to know that you're going to be around for another couple of weeks because this fund has a long-term vision. All right, well, look, Clemente, it's always fun discussing the Bodago Super Pack, the 9 member.
We're getting blood work done in order to join a fund.
Yeah, I just scheduled my appointment. It's a European blood work organization out here. I'll mail the results in. Hopefully, by the time the block processes, you'll be able to add me.
Nick, this is the stuff that like normal people don't know about is when you get to a certain level, you know, you got to have like the medicals, you need to kind of pass a bar. Like there's a lot going on with this. This is like big boy stuff. This is high level stuff, elite, if you will. But anyway, look, it's always fun to hear about the Bodogo Super Pack. I love hearing about what the gang is doing. And I really, for me, the best case scenario without question is that this thing is a huge, ridiculous success. That really is for me what I want to happen. I think it'll be the funniest thing ever if all of a sudden you guys are actually managing like 150 grand, because I also think that that's going to send the button pushing velocity to some outrageous level. You guys are going to be slinging capital like nobody's business, and probably making some mistakes that are pretty entertaining to be witness to. So I'm rooting for the Bodogo Super Pack. I won't be sending in my blood work and sending you guys Bitcoin anytime soon. But I would, if you ever need someone to sell a liquidity provider on the Bodogo Super Pack, I'll jump on a call and trick them into giving you money, because I think that it's just so much fun and I want it to have a lot of money. I mean, really, anything $25,000 or above is going to make for a fun Bodogo Super Pack. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. If it's your first time listening, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts. It's available on YouTube and X platform. If you'd like the video stream of the show, you know, podcast platforms are great to send it to people outside of the Twitter bubble if you're trying to get someone else involved in NFTs or you just want to listen on the go. And of course, subscribe to our newsletter. You know, check out all the content that we make and check out the Bodogo's NFT collection on Solana. That is our show. We will be back tomorrow, and it's looking like he said he's a little bit under the weather, but he's still pushing to come. Elio Trades, our old buddy, is going to be on the show tomorrow. He is a phenomenal analyst of markets, has a research team that really helps him out. He's really, really great at the macro side of the NFT, or just the macro side of markets in general. So absolutely excited to have Elliot on the show tomorrow. It's going to be a very good one. Looking forward to tomorrow. See you guys later. Oh, and by the way, this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time, I am hosting the Bitcoin Show, one of our other podcasts. We have Nathaniel Whitmore, the NLW himself, the host of the Breakdown podcast, one of the tightest daily recap podcasts of all financial markets, crypto and TradFi. I'm going to be digging in with him about many things, mostly the Bitcoin ETF and its robust impact on the market for Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto markets. And I want to dig in whether he thinks that Bitcoin is going to outperform altcoins this cycle or not because of the Bitcoin ETF, and also talk about Ethereum's ETF and the impact that that might have on the broader crypto market. Nick, I'm sorry you're so bored by the idea of me discussing the... I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just listening, this is actually wild. I don't know if I've ever seen something that extreme from Nick on the show, where I'm just promoting the Bitcoin podcast with a great guest, Nathaniel Whitmore. And Nick's like, oh my God, so boring. I'm glad I didn't end the YouTube stream before I did this. Nick, anything to say for yourself before we wrap?
The question was what I was commenting on. The question you were asking him. We're going to find out whether or not he thinks Bitcoin is going to outperform all coins. This slave them. That's the most important thing that we're really interested in finding out. Short answer is no.
Oh, so we got Nicky Boy over here. Maybe this is a discussion for another show. Nick's like, no, there's no way, because I don't understand what Bitcoin is and everybody knows it and people send PODMs about it. Nick, we're going to have a fun cycle, buddy. It's a good thing that you have the Bitcoin exposure because you're protecting yourself against the debasement of fiat currency and defending yourself against scams.
Dude, we really don't need to hear about it. Like, really don't need to.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Filecoin podcast is next. No, just kidding. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.